No, it was four. It was you put your square peg in a round hole.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 113, and the Steam Winter Sale is right around the corner.
Oh, no.
I know none of us have the disposable income with which to purchase some new games, but what do you do when games are $1 or $2 or $5?
You got to buy them in bulk.
In bulk.
You ask your friends what games they're buying, and then you act like you're going to buy all those same games, and then you let them spend all the money.
Yeah,
I've got games that they're never gonna play.
I've got three or four games from last winter sale that I haven't even got to yet.
But I think Kenny's he's not calling me out, I don't think, but Nolan out because Divinity or something. I don't remember.
He jumped on that too quick. I never told him to buy it. Yeah.
So by the time you're listening to this episode, the Steam Winter Sale might already be live. And so my question to start this episode off is, what game or what games would cause you to invest a little bit of money to have and add that game into your Steam library?
I've got one that I've always wanted and is really old by now, but I still think I should play it. I want GTA 5, but it's never gone below 30. I think like 29.
This will be
99.
The first time it does. It'll drop.
You
maybe
think?
Rockstar is pretty...
Dude, they're strict. It's been years and they still... Like, 50 off is about as low as they go, which is a lot. I mean, that's fair, but the game's still 60.
And it's a massive game, and it's game... Like, it's got a lot of quality to it, so you're going to get your money's worth. It really is funny, to some degree, that we will go spend $10, $12 for a three-hour movie, two-hour movie, but we are frustrated to spend, you know, $25, $30 on a game that might give us 40 hours.
Yeah, we're like, I don't know about that.
The perspective is a little skewed sometimes.
That is... Kenny? That's sad.
Anything come to mind?
I can't think of one.
All right, you're fun.
I just don't know. Like, I'm not informed what's going for sale or if I've even not played a game. The way
you don't
I find
know
out
if you've
I
not
played
a game
that I should have is by getting picked on the Retro Master list and me realizing I've made a terrible mistake.
Nolan, I don't know if I'll get it because I don't think it's my kind of game, but if Cuphead goes for sale, should I?
Absolutely. I don't think it will. Yes, it will. Not for a lot.
I don't think Assassin's Creed Origins will go on sale yet because it's still relatively new. But if it does, I might be taking a look at it.
Why did I think you already played it?
Haven't done Origins yet.
I think you just were talking about it when it came out. You should totally get that.
One other one that that I'll definitely be looking at is the new Middle-earth game, Shadow of War. Is that what it's called? Like Shadow of Mordor. But,
interesting.
Shadow of War is fairly recent. Again, I don't know if it'll be on sale yet. I'll say this. If you haven't gotten either of the Portal games, you'll be able to get both of them for like $2.
Probably free.
That's the one thing I'll agree. They basically are handing them out. And do yourself a favor. And that's the best $2 or $3 of entertainment value I think anyone could spend.
Probably so. That's
maybe
fair.
Ever.
That's fair. I'll tell you this, if you do not at least spend a little money on the Steam Winter Sale, it'd truly be a mistake. Hey, Mistech is the magic system in our retro game of the week, Anachronox.
Overview. Here's the deal, Dustin.
What is it?
The deal is, I know there was talk in Discord.
They've been asking
of
for
people
it, Kenny.
Missing the cheesy pun.
I worked hard on that one.
But you don't have to go that hard.
I
you
worked
don't have
hard.
To force it so bad.
He's pulled that one before. He's done that strategy. I don't remember what episode.
It was fluid. I didn't have to create anything.
No, I liked
it. It was you put your square peg in a round hole.
Hey-o. Let's let that be the clip as the start of this episode. We can and then be okay.
All right. Anachronox is a 2001 title that came out on the PC. It was developed by Ion Storm, and it was published by Eidos. I always thought that I came after D. Well, Eidos. And it is a futuristic RPG that is a huge, grand-scale story, like bigger than I was expecting. So last week we joked because online it says something like it gathered inspiration from, was it Final Fantasy and Chrono Trigger? And Ender's Game.
And Ender's Game.
So it's like...
And like the film noir movement. And then he named like five directors that were his inspiration and four other authors.
And Abraham Lincoln. It was just everything he likes. And he was... Anyways. So that's quite the statement. And the story is on a pretty large scale if you're going to compare it to those things. So I guess I'll give him that. And... I'm not going to get too far into the story because, one, I think a lot of it could be potential spoilers if you wanted to play it, and two, it's also very confusing and I don't understand a lot of it. But basically, the main story follows a protagonist named Sylvester Slyboots Bucelli.
Yeah, and he's just known as Slyboots.
Slyboots is what he goes, or Boots, yeah. But his friends call him Boots, who is an ex-private eye that is like... kind of out of work and looking for stuff to do, you know, like getting into trouble just because he misses the thrill, I guess. That's the vibe I get. And I said it's very story heavy. And the way they went about this game is very cinematic in nature. Like, in fact, I think the creators even made a movie based on the cutscenes of this game, like spliced it together with some extra stuff they cut from the game to make a movie.
Cutscenes, extra cuts, and actual moving in the game. So, like, some of the navigating and battle fights, that was because you have complete control of the camera as you do in some of these games.
Right. Which is super interesting. Like, you can actually go watch that on YouTube. It's pretty long, too. It's like over 2 hours. Anyways, it's a turn-based RPG. So, like, yeah, you get into battles like you do similar to Chrono Trigger. Like, you see the enemy when you're walking through the environment, and then you get in a battle with them. You do have magic, although it's not called magic. The system Dustin already mentioned is called Mystech, M-Y-S-T-E-C-K. And
H.
And
that's so close.
I can spell.
Nolan just made a really bad, I promise. Mystech.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
That was way worse.
That was the better pun.
Thank you for covering my embarrassing mistake, Kenny.
Don't say it was the better pun. Okay. It was my pun. That was exactly what I did. You just said it again.
No, I played on the whole mistake parallelism.
Wait, that's exactly what I did.
Oh, did you really?
Where were you?
I don't know. My subconscious picked it up right now. And the rest of me was just...
If you don't purchase anything on the Steam Winter Sale, it will truly be a mistake.
You're right. You're right. I'm a ripoff artist and didn't know it.
You didn't even listen to the pun and you just talk about how bad it is. And then you bring it back later like you created it. Get out of here.
My delivery was at least slightly more natural.
Whatever.
Mm-mm. I'm sorry. We got to learn about this game.
Nothing about you is natural. Instead of mana, you use neutron radiated glowdents, or NRG. That's what I would call mana in this game because they try to make everything super futuristic and weird and out there. But it's a third-person game. I don't think I mentioned that. And you navigate it like you would an RPG, but it's very like, what is that movie? The Fifth Element. It's got like a lot of Fifth Element vibes going. It's just set in...
I actually think that's a great sort of comparison.
Comparison,
I really do.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenny. you're on the planet Anachronox. That's where the game name comes from.
At least to begin with.
Sure, yeah, things get crazy very quick, and the planet is inside of this, like, fake planet, like, built planet called Cinder One, which is, like, this hub for, I guess, light speed travel, you could say. There's a lot to it, but that's the gist of the game. Guys, what did I miss?
I think you painted a clear picture. Here's the thing. It's sci-fi, and it truly is more so than most sci-fi games today. And so it's weird. It's out there. If you're unfamiliar with the genre or the sci-fi territory, it's going to feel very, very unfamiliar. But if you read some of the novels, if you've watched some of the TV shows or movies that are truly sci-fi in nature, not just with the sci-fi flair, but sci-fi, then some of this will be familiar to you.
Gameplay.
Being that it's so sci-fi, I think that the world itself is a character, like where you are, similar. Again, I'm not comparing these two in quality by any means, but BioShock and Rapture. So Rapture is a character. Columbia is a character. The world itself is something truly unique that plays a huge part of the story. I think the same is with Anachronox. The name of the game is the planet that you start on. And so it's dark, it's gritty. You go to different places, but the first section you start in is really like slums, underground, even Boots, his office, now since he's a down and out private investigator, is above a bar. I think the whole world creates its own unique character that plays a major part in this story.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you're in the southern part, I think, of Anachronox, which is like the slums, like Dustin said, and then there's like a rich part of it. But you really get that vibe, like, just when the game starts, and when I said cinematic earlier, I meant like the way that you kind of look like you're watching a movie, like the camera pans a lot on the scenery and on the environment. And so it really does pull you into that. And this was super surprising for me. One, I'd never heard of the game, and I don't know if that's because it's a PC game or what, but there was a lot that was put into the environment of this game, and they really do communicate it well, I thought.
I don't think it's just because it was a PC title. Lots of people didn't hear about this game.
Well, I think it's one, in doing some research, that they spent lots and lots of money in the production of and the development of this game. And
but then spent very little money in advertising.
Yeah, like thousands. But that's it. That's not much.
I never read anything that was the bottom line on like profit. But the company that made the game immediately went out of existence as soon as the game was released.
Which is crazy, because this game, those that did find it, like, it had a following and it was successful in its own right. And they had planned, the creators of this game planned this to be a trilogy. So even the game itself ends on a cliffhanger, and it doesn't conclude all of the stories and all of the lines. And so the idea was for it to be a trilogy. Still, there's talk today of, hey, we need to bring about at least a second game to this. But I don't know. I feel like it's been a good 16 years. I don't know if they're coming back to the world.
I don't think it's happening at this point.
I think they even like pulled content from the first game intentionally, like with the sequel in mind, thinking that it was going to be so successful. And then it's just like, whoops. Because Kenny, I think you're right. Immediately, that company was gone.
Yeah. I think a few years back, the writer of the game actually said, the writer of the story actually said, I'm going to give it a 10-year window. And if there's not another game that's created in this 10-year window, I'm going to just write the rest of the story out and put it up on our website.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Which says something about the story in this game. Because that one of the things I noticed early on is, relative to a lot of RPGs, now, don't get me wrong, I'm a little slanted because a lot of the RPGs that we play really are JRPGs, but really, relative to any other RPG that we've played, I thought the dialogue in this game was really, really top-notch. You go around and start talking to people, and it doesn't feel like a translation. It feels like natural English conversation, more than a lot of games. Anytime you're doing text boxes, it's going to be limiting.
But here's why. It was created in Dallas, Texas, not in something Japan.
That's what I'm saying. It didn't have to be translated, and just they were really focusing on that sort of storytelling and character-driven, you know, kind of environment. And it just really showed to me right away in the dialogue. Like, immediately I went, okay, I'm not getting that. This is actually going to have some story and character. And it was nice.
It's a living, breathing world that's going on around you. So much so that when you talk to someone, you could talk to them multiple times, one after another, and get different dialogues. And also, you'll come across other stories that are going on and that you hop in the middle of, and being a private investigator, a detective, you sometimes get involved with those things. And they're not even central or core to the story, but they are these little side stories that are always going on that if you take the time to do, then you'll get some currency, or you'll get some experience, or you'll get some upgrades or different things that make the world really, truly feel alive.
I feel like we're jumping the gun just a little bit. This is a PC title, and so you're moving your character, you know, walking around, going up ramps, up and down elevators. They do creative things on how you can move through space, and actually did a great job with the level design, I thought. But then they do a really interesting thing where they give you a cursor that is actually really interactive. It's this cursor that is called the life cursor, and that you can point at different people or objects or anything you want to interact with and click on. But then you also kind of get feedback from the cursor, and even use the cursor kind of in battle, because this cursor is more than a cursor. It's actually a digitized version of his former assistant, who I guess died. I didn't really catch the story there. Something happened to her. And the main character preserves his assistant in the form of this cursor that flies around and interacts with you. And it was a really novel way of going about interacting with the world.
And it wasn't just that. So they gave reason for there being a cursor there, which most of your games do not. If right. It's PC, it just ignores the cursor altogether. I think there's a few games that make mention of it or make light of a cursor being on the screen, but they actually give purpose to it. And so
it doesn't feel as like immersion breaking.
To explain it to them, it's not a probe. What are those things called that fly around nowadays in the
drones?
Sky? A drone. It's a little drone that flies around, and inside is that digitized Fatima. And you were saying earlier, Nolan, that it reminded you of the girl from the Halo series.
Yeah. Yeah, Cortana.
Yeah.
She's like in this room when she's video conferencing you. And yeah, Kenny, I don't know if I'm clear on like what exactly went on with her or like what happened, but like she's talking to you like FaceTime almost. But what's really cool also, like, so she's used for navigating the world, and it kind of makes you not feel alone in that world. But like when you're in fights, she's also interactive, like in the abilities that you're doing
some
and
of
stuff.
Your moves,
like,
they worked so hard in this game to make everything feel cinematic enough so that in just sort of reading interviews with game creators, they intentionally didn't do cutscenes in a nicer, fancier set of graphics like so many games do, because you can. They just used the same gameplay just to respect that immersion factor, just so that what you were seeing, you would just continue to see, and however much you felt there would continue on. And that sort of level of detail where they went, we're actually going to make this simpler because it's going to make the experience of the game more authentic, was a really, really cool attitude in my mind.
That's comparable to Grand Theft Auto 3, I think, if you've ever played that, where it doesn't have these pre-rendered cutscenes. Mm. It just keeps it in. When it works, it works. And this is one of the ones that it might. I just wanted to point out, because, Kenny, you brought that back around to the cursor having purpose. Even save points. They're little aliens that as you walk by, you pet. And the idea is that they remember that you pet them and the status of everything as you pet them. So if you die in the game, then they're able to revitalize you to bring you back to that moment in which you came by and pet them.
It's literally some like back lore to make these creatures function as part of the world. And there's lots of stuff like that that is science, but really it's just magic. But they do it in a way where it all kind of works and makes sense. You end up, you know, like in every big story, basically saving the universe. But even that, and like what's going on with this, you know, possible end of existence, they justify. And the things you're doing and the stuff you're interacting with in the game all kind of fits. And it was a very, very, very thought out and cared about game. You can tell.
let's talk about some of those RPG elements,
yeah.
Because this game, as we've mentioned already, and as you can find on any write-up about this game, they'll mention some other RPGs, JRPGs, including the Final Fantasy series, saying this game is very comparable to. I want to talk about maybe some of the battle systems and mechanics, the experience and leveling up, all of those things. Do you have customization over your characters? I want to hear what you guys thought about some of those things as we describe them, and then want to hear if you felt that they truly did compare in some ways to some of these other RPGs.
Yeah. I was interested to see what all that hype was about, to see if they were just lying to get people to play their game or if it was real.
Right. So let's talk about battle system first.
Yeah.
You already mentioned, Kenny, that it's less like Final Fantasy where you get random encounters, and it's more like Chrono Trigger where you see your enemies on the screen. But when you go into battle, what is that like? What's happening there, and do you find it comparable to any of those?
Yeah, I mean, the general layout there feels very genre true to me. It's that normal, at least by now, once we've broken out of the sort of 2D, you know, birth of these games to seeing a battlefield that you can look at three-dimensionally, and you've got your enemies and you've got you, and then you've got, you know, some menus to navigate. I would say, except for a few, again, real specific choices they make, the biggest change to me that's unique versus most of these others is the interaction with the world and the ability to move manually within the fight space. A lot of these, your characters are stuck where they are. Maybe you're in a front row, back row situation, but you're pretty much standing still and lobbing things or throwing things or hitting things at the enemy. Here, as you move around, whether you're closer or farther away matters, but you can also move and find things in the world to interact with and then use those items. So they gave you sort of an extra dimension beyond what a lot of these games have that I thought was thoughtful.
Again, you're talking about in the battles
themselves, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know if you're explaining that well enough. I think in battle, when you go into battle, you can attack, you know, your physical attack, or in the case of boots, you're shooting a gun. You can use an item, or you can maneuver to a different node,
right.
Either
move
left
your character
or right,
kind of like on a head. Grid. In the battle space.
You can position yourself so that the enemy cannot hit you, but you can still hit the enemy. As well as later in the game, there's some other opportunities to move to a different node in which there's a switch there that turns on an electric barrier that doesn't allow the enemy to pass, or a whole slew of other things,
right.
In different battles, which you don't necessarily get in a lot of other RPG battles.
I would agree. Like, for face value, it's a simple... You enter a battle and now it's fight time. The screen changes. But I will say that it was pretty seamless, like going from walking in the world to an encounter. Like other, like JRPGs are infamous for having like some kind of weird transition screen and then like battle music start. This one just kind of started.
Yeah, it all like flows out,
yeah.
And there's this big hype, and then it zooms in on your character and they, you know, got shining on their forehead or whatever. Yeah, they really ham it up. This just, it's a continuation of the story.
Yeah. And so that was seamless. But everything else to me was in place. It felt pretty natural, but I don't think I would have compared it to those games just because of the reputation they hold. It just seems kind of lame to be like, it's like Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy when it's really not.
Hey, it's like the best three RPGs I can know the name right now.
No,
like,
you can see their inspiration, but it definitely feels very different. And they weren't trying to knock those games off by any means. They just stole some of how they do what they do from them.
I'm maybe not as close to it as you guys. I can see. So you fight in both games. That's about all that I give it. I feel like there's so much difference there. And
well, you still have menuing, like they couldn't get around the menuing problem. You still have to, you know, go through and choose your things, and that's part of it.
There's things that translate fairly directly, but I think, again, more to just the genre than to those specific games. Like the
right.
way
yeah,
Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy does them is super iconic, and I don't think we need to get hung up on making that comparison all the time, except that we were a little offended.
They're the ones that do it.
I'm going to say, we were a little offended early on that they picked some of our favorite games and series of all time.
But listen, I've read it over and over again this week. I've seen it in video after video. Everyone tries to compare it. And I feel like because one time the creators said, we're taking our inspiration from the best of the best. Oh, and so everyone else just quoted that. Before we get too far from the battles, let me say, I felt that the battles here were way too slow to fill up that bar.
I agree. Pace should have helped.
It's grueling. And I'm good with Final Fantasy in that it's like... active time bar and ATB in which that's somewhat slow, but it's based on your pace, not necessarily the games, and then you can always up that speed. Mm-hmm. But in this game, it was ongoing, whatever that is. And so like they could attack you multiple times before your bar would ever fill up, and it just goes so slow. And then sometimes you're doing your abilities or your attacks would take so long that the pacing, not only in the battles, I can take that to the other parts of the game too, but I know we're not talking about that yet. I felt like that was just something that was off and caused some friction between me and this game.
A few things that thinking about the battles has reminded me of that, for good or bad, stuck out in this game was the change in how they did character like stat points, basically.
Yeah, that was a big difference too.
Yeah, it was a very big difference. Whereas normally these games tend to give you very specific, like an amount you have this many.
You need 1,000 experience points.
Exactly. As your character moves, they really are just given sort of a range of strengths. Like they just are poor or fair or good or great at some
up
of these
to excellent
things. But yeah. And so I'm fine with that decision. I think it's something they again did to not let you get caught up on the little minutia and again sort of immerse harder, but it was again a very specific decision that showed the perspective they were coming from.
But that takes a lot of the RPG element out of the hands of the player, which is one of the things that I like about RPGs.
Right. If you enjoy that kind of micromanaging mm-hmm. of your skills and your equipment and all of the detail stuff, you're going to lose some of that because they were leaning harder into the story. The other thing that they did as the battles progressed is that they didn't unlock battle options for you until those naturally had come up in the game and the story. And again, that respected their unveiling of the story and the like learning process of a game. And that was really thoughtful, I thought. You don't get to jump into the game and be like, I can use my Mystech stuff right away.
Legends of Dragoon did it first.
Right, because it's just not there. And so,
or maybe, they did.
I think it goes back to what you were coming up with, Nolan, that I think this game focused a lot more on storytelling and mm-hmm. world creation, and then battling was just a part of that so that you could play along.
Yeah, it almost mm-hmm. feels like somebody that was supposed to be an author ended up in game design and was like, okay, I'll make the best of it. Just the things the game focused on and did, I think, the best were story and world and character and depth and that kind of stuff. And it shows for good and for bad at different points in different ways. But
well, let's talk about some of the characters, shall we?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good way to conclude the section. But that also just kind of puts the nail in the coffin on the sci-fi genre of this.
Yeah.
So, so Boots is your former private detective, main character, down and out, alcoholic, starts the game with a black eye because he just got beat up by someone for not paying him back. So, like, he's this down and out looking for a job type of guy, and he goes around, and the first character that he finds is Kenny. I mean, Grumpos.
Grumpos.
What a ridiculous name. He's a 71-year-old Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
he's
basically.
I think he's human, so he's not like one of the alien species, although there are many here, but he's got this long beard, he's got this staff or this cane, he's grumpy, he's...
And he's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I knew you'd like him. But he's the one that gives Boots his first job, and then Grumpus gets wrapped up in all that's going on because there's a promise of great riches if you stay involved with this. Right. What else is there?
We already mentioned her, but Fatima is another pretty important character. And I'm seeing now, Kenny, that she was injured and then digitized by Boots. I won't go further than that. But she is your helper, and it just shows the age of this game that she is actually on a PDA. That's what they say that she is inside of, but it's basically an iPad type of, and we've mentioned the cursor, so yeah.
You've got BB-8 or PAL-18. It's this BB-8. Little robot friend that's got an attitude. Yeah. And and he's actually like an employee of Boots and a really cool robot.
And BB-8. And then later on, as you get into the game, you...
Are you about to talk about the planet?
Yes.
Gosh.
You get a character, Democritus, I think is the name.
Yeah.
And this,
yeah,
this is a planet... That in you, within your story, you like you meet the leadership of this planet, and they decide what you're doing is worth supporting. So they vote. the name is well apt. It's sort of this whole democracy centered planet. They vote to shrink down the planet to be human sized to come with yep. you on all your adventures.
Uh huh.
And it yeah. kind of has eyeballs at the top if yeah. you look at it right.
Here's we haven't talked about this sort of aspect of this game. But the tone and the humor and the willingness to be just sort of ridiculous sci-fi is so fun to me.
Let's mention that here, saying that that is a thing, but allow that to transition us into age, because it's this humor aspect
yeah.
that was very vibrant in this game that sets it apart. And but I do think that it is an aging factor, either in a good way or a bad way, depending on your personality, sure. what kind of humor you like.
Okay, well, let's make it official. Let's talk about how this game aged.
Aged.
Okay, some of the humor, just an example, a quick example early on. You're walking through the city and you walk past like a guard talking to one of the aliens. And the alien text is alien. You can't read it. But the guard understands it, and he's like, "Don't talk to me like that, boy. You remember what happened to me last time you talked to me?" It's just like that kind of.
Not only that, there's another time where Boots is pouring his heart out to another party member, and kind of just very emotional, kind of being very real and honest for a little while, and does a monologue for about 2 to 3 minutes, and then afterwards, the girl's like. Whoa, were you talking to me? And like, it's that humor yep. that's over and over again that shows that this game doesn't take itself too seriously and that it's trying to have fun with what it's trying to present in a genre that typically takes itself way too seriously.
Often it does. But this is why I got so excited when Nolan said it reminded him of The Fifth Element. Because that, to me, is the genius of the when you do sci-fi but you do humor together well – how well it can work, that you can still have your big action scenes and your epic story that you're literally saving the universe. That's cool. But in the middle of that, you can have these just moments that are so either outlandish or just tongue in cheek or self-aware that it makes you chuckle. And I like that, because when they're trying to tell a story, you need the moments with the heavy feels. And this game goes for them a little bit. But you need the moments that are lighthearted too. You need kind of the whole range there. And I liked that they, you know, took that approach.
Dustin, did you feel like the humor was well placed in this game?
I did, but this is what I'll say. And this is why I wanted to talk about it in aged. Quirky humor is fun. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's something that would be much more appreciated in 2001 when it came out. And I feel like it's too, divisive. I don't know if that's the word, but it's separating the seriousness of what they're trying to go for in this game with the levity they're trying to bring in the humor.
You and think I it was feel almost like, a distraction?
I feel like today, yes, but I feel like back then it might have clicked and worked better.
It's interesting. And I do think expectations and tone and what's popular shifts over time. And so you may be seeing something that's totally genuine. I didn't get caught up on that. I laughed a number of times, chuckled, and, you know, rolled my eyes or whatever. But then you guys would say I have a terrible sense of humor, and so I don't know if I'm a good barometer here. But, like, it made me smile, and those weren't the things for me that were immersion-breaking. I thought the things that got me in terms of the story was more technical things on how it aged.
Like the
stutter literally run? Like it not working well at times. There'd be times that it would like stutter and even, you know, years later and patches later, it's not a perfectly bug-free game. And then just when this game happened graphically is still in that weird in between
the character models, guys.
Ugly characters. And I know they tried and I know that. It was the best that could be done at the time. Although not even. Let's be
not
real.
Even.
If this game had come out when they originally thought it was going to, you know, like the late 90s, 98, 99, I could maybe say that. But this game didn't actually end up getting released till like 2001. They had so many issues and got pushed back so much that by the time it came out, there was a lot better looking stuff.
The face models on some of those enemies were literally just rocks. Like, they didn't look like anything.
If you want a clear depiction of these facial models and these animations, watch the first 3 minutes. And as Boots is getting beaten up, the guy that's beating him up turns to the camera, looks out a window, and then smiles. But it is the worst image that I've ever seen.
You can tell that, like, they were trying to put this emotion and, like, they were working with what they had, but it ends up not adding depth. It just ends up adding creepiness to something that's already bad. And I know part of that is a retrospective thing. We're so spoiled with such amazing graphics today that, like, if at the moment they were slightly dated, people might have rolled their eyes a little and been okay still. But practically, we've just gotten such, especially on PC titles, fluid titles that just look so clean that that's just jarring. And it doesn't have to be. There's a lot of retro games we play that, because they went with a certain aesthetic or because they just feel classic, but this one just felt, as much as it tried to draw me in with story and did that stuff well, it had some really big hurdles to overcome just in terms of the raw ability of what it was doing, you know, and how that has aged.
Let's be real. The character models weren't great and they're very bad, but that world is pretty impressive to me. I thought that it felt alive and it was detailed. I'm speaking of Anachronox and then some of the other places you go later, but like just even that starting area, I think they invested a lot in the environment and really did try and make it its own character. I mean, just even given the title of the game, like they at least made you want to explore it and maybe discover some of those hidden story elements. The thing that aged for me is in the battle system, where I was bragging on the camera earlier being your cursor and helping you out in the world, but in battles, it can get really dizzy. Like, it would do weird stuff, like depending on where you move your character and what the enemy is doing at the same time. Like, it would do like weird upside down stuff sometimes to me, and just didn't. It really broke up some of that battle stuff that I love, I know and love in this genre.
And the thing that aged most poorly for me is just the overall pacing of the battles, of the game itself. I felt like there was a lot of fluff in the game and in the battle time-wise that if it would have been trimmed. Kenny, you mentioned earlier, it's a long game. I think probably 60 hours, maybe. Like, it's an RPG standard type game. But I think, and those are fine. I'm fine with that. But I want some consistency. I want some good pacing. And I felt like this lacked a lot of that, especially up front, which is where you want it most.
Yeah, you need to hook people. And especially the very beginning portions of this game were just really slow. I think the whole game, you're right, that it kind of has that pace. But as you get pulled into the story later and there's more characters and more things to do in battle, it where you're feeling like you're making choices, it gets a little better. But yeah, it just starts off just meandering.
Final thoughts.
And especially for us, it's most important because we don't have 60 hours to invest in a game. So if you want us to give your game New Game Plus, then you've got to get us good pacing at the beginning. But either way, we played enough this week to be able to help us to determine whether or not this game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. So which simply means, do we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Is it a game that we encourage our viewers to go find a copy of and play, or do we encourage you to reserve your retro gaming time for another retro video game? Can we start with Kenny?
Yeah, let me go first.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like this game suffers from the opposite problem of what I often ridicule games from. And that is, I say a lot of games, it looks like there was no love and care that went into this game. I think this game had too much love and care. When you hear the backstory of how huge this world they developed was and how deep these characters were and how much story they wanted to tell and how cinematically they wanted to tell it, and then you see what that did to their development schedule and ultimately their possibly success in the game, when you see what that does to the pacing of the game, when you see how much character and world there is, it's like it's fighting itself. It's a really confusing game, and I love a lot of the things there, but the places that I didn't like it, it was almost because they were trying too hard. I don't know. I know that's a funny like pendulum to swing, but normally I say
I hear you.
People didn't love their game at all. I feel like this game literally suffered from being overly loved in development. And so it made for a kind of awkward game finally. This game is very long. It takes a long time to get into. There's going to be some hurdles practically on time. Despite all of that, this game was loved and they told a story well. And I think it's a story and a care that's worth people seeing. And so though there were some frustrating moments in this game gets New Game Plus from me, but absolutely barely.
When it comes to Anachronox, I do not see the comparison between this game and Final Fantasy. I do not see the comparison between this game and Chrono Trigger. And I most certainly do not see the comparison between this game and Ender's Game. There are other things that I see a comparison with. I see a comparison with Deus Ex or Deus Ex. I've tried to play that game before. It's very comparable in many different ways. I definitely see the comparison to Fifth Element. And while this game has some great tone and some great characters and some intriguing storytelling, I think that the pacing, the handling, the mechanics, some of the aging factors, the graphics that are just painful to look at, kind of set me off on the other side. And while I might enjoy it after spending 4, 5, 6 hours into it, it didn't capture me within the first 2 or 3, although I was intrigued by some. This is what I'll do. I would encourage you not to play the game. The game does not get my vote for New Game Plus status, but go watch the 2.5 hour movie of the game that they put together, and I think you will have more fun than if you would have played the game.
That's not a bad halfway happy suggestion.
I don't see the comparisons either, Dustin. I think that was such a stretch and just kind of like a look at us. We don't have a lot of money to promote it, but these three games get your attention, which is unfortunate. Like, I really wish they could have had the marketing to get this game out there for people to play. But like, because it didn't, and because I didn't know about it, and like after playing it now, I don't recommend the game. It does not get New Game Plus from me. I really do think the world is interesting and kind of awesome. And it reminded me of KOTAR, like kind of a different, less gameplay version of KOTAR. There wasn't enough gameplay for me. The pacing was way off. If you're into games that are just text and walking, sure, play it. Like, it's probably really interesting. But I really like stats.
For our slightly less nerdy listeners, that's Knights of the Old Republic, yeah?
Yeah, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, which is a BioWare game. It's a classic. Play that. But I like stats and numbers, and the qualitative poor and good stats instead of numbers are off to me. So no New Game Plus.
Which means 2/3 of the vote swings the opposite direction, meaning Anachronox does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. But what did you guys think? Ed wrote in and he said, this game consumed a lot of my week. And besides the main quest line, there's a gazillion Easter eggs to find. My main project was deciphering the alien language. I loved the atmosphere, the writing and the spirit, but it's so slow. Mm. Specifically the combat. Everything just takes far too long.
So it's a pretty good TLDR.
But some of the things he said is so fun that you can get a device that can help you to understand the alien language. Like, there's so many good things about it, actually.
Yeah, not enough good things, apparently, because we didn't.
Apparently for Ed. Thank you for writing in. Antonin wrote in. He said, first of all, I'm sure that none of you voted towards the NGP status. Well, that's not true. Wow. It's not that Anachronox is a bad game. It's just not a game that really stands out. I think the game has a lot of positive points. The music is great. The settings are really awesome. And even the graphics are doable in this day and age. It's dark and gritty, and the small details add up. Did you all find the Nox guard that was overseeing some kind of extortion at the back of some alley? How about the woman taking a shower in an apartment that paid off because that paid you off because you claimed someone was after her. And once you got the translation upgrade, did you talk to the aliens you may have passed along the way but never understood? I enjoyed the feeling of the game. I even enjoyed the wacky camera angles. With that being said, it had quite a few bugs, and I wonder if any of you encountered them. The game didn't wow me, but I think it's worth playing for anyone that wants a gritty, dark RPG experience on a PC. And for $1.50 on sale every other week, it's definitely not a waste of money.
That's super cheap for an RPG that long. We didn't mention that.
There's some games that we played where I said, even if it's $1.50, it's not worth your investment. This game, I would say it's definitely worth $1.50. And then Joey wrote and said, I've been listening to the podcast for a couple months now, but I've recently discovered your Discord channel. The great thing about this was connecting with your small but growing community of listeners. I love that you guys add to discussions and are accessible. On that note, a small gesture happened that I have to share with you guys. In the Game of the Week section, I was discussing Anachronox, and it was on sale for $1.49. I commented on how I would be buying it later that week on Friday and was looking forward to playing it. Antonin, one of your regular listeners, asked for my GOG account email and gifted it to me and told me not to wait on playing. I know that it was only $1.49, but this was an awesome gesture on his part to a person he only had just met online. Not only do I love the show, but I love the community that listens to it. If time permits, please give Antonin a shout out today during the recording, as I do not want this to go unnoticed. Please keep up the hard work, and I look forward to the next week's game.
Guys, do y'all understand?
Yeah, we have some top-notch people that hang out with us just because we all talk about video games together, and it's pretty humbling.
So nice.
Well, that's the most fun thing for me. Obviously, the randomizer that we're about to do is one of the most fun things. Getting viewer email is another mm-hmm. incredible thing. But just seeing that there's a community, and some of you guys have been around for a year or two.
A long time.
That's just phenomenal. And it's great coming together really on the daily to see what you guys are up to. It's kind of, it's like we started a podcast and out of it, we got friends.
Aw, what a nice thought.
Thank you, Joey, for your email, Antonin and Ed as well. And thanks, Antonin, for being an incredible viewer that's just sharing, especially during this Christmas season. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
That's true.
And it's the most wonderful time of the episode because we are randomly selecting what the next game is. And it's even better.
Why? Now that was a good segue.
Why is it even better?
It's even better, Nolan, because instead of randomly selecting from our enormous pool of games, we are going to be randomly selecting from just a handful of games that are delivered to us by our patrons.
Are you kidding me?
Patreon pool.
It's Patreon pool time, and we had some of our patrons give us one or two game suggestions this week. And guys, I think I know what the game is going to be because we have, we've got about a dozen of the same game because they've been trying to get this game for many weeks. We'll wait and say it until it gets picked. But there's literally probably 12 of the same game. There's probably 4 or 6 other games that are on there. So it should be this one game. The other games that might be picked are games like Donkey Kong Country 2, Illusions of Gaia, Tron, E.T., Kenny.
Oh, no.
Super Smash Bros.
Put my foot down.
Super Smash Bros. Melee, and this other game that I'm sure is going to be randomly selected as we spin the randomizer now. We are going to be playing a 1991 game that is a Sega Genesis classic. It is an action video game that is all about two alien rappers who have crash landed on Earth. We are finally playing Toe Jam and Earl.
Finally.
Rappers? They are alien rappers.
Can we get out of space for a week? Come on.
Our patrons have been pushing for this game, some of them really hard, for I think over a year now.
Here's the beautiful thing.
Patreon pools.
This is a beautiful thing because there was one guy that would come in Patreon pool after Patreon pool that would submit Toe Jam and Earl each time.
Both submissions.
And all of our viewers caught on to that. All of our patrons caught on to that. And they said, you know what? He's been wanting this for so long. Let's all put it in. So
that's
most
so
people this week either put it as both of theirs or one of theirs along with one other game.
Here's the deal, though. That's not the first time awesome. That's happened. They've bandwagoned with him before. And we've lost the odds and played one-off games from like Bill that's trolled us with
Color
silly
of
titles.
Dinosaur.
The time wasn't right, but it is now.
And the time is now right. We are playing Toe Jam and Earl this week, and you have got to play along with us.
Yes, please, everyone. We have to support this guy. We're going to be talking all about Toe Jam Earl. Like, seriously, our Discord's going to be blown up.
It is going to go lit. yet.
All week. Dustin said it. It will be lit. No. Join us in Discord. You can find an invite link to that on our Twitter. It is free. It's a free program you can have on your phone, your desktop. And we're going to be chatting and meeting people. And who knows, you might get a $1.50 game. Come stop by and talk to us, please.
We've already expressed our appreciation to some of our wonderful listeners throughout this show, some. But it goes without saying, once again, that our producers, Zion, Bradley, Gimbarino, go above and beyond in supporting the show and helping us to be able to do what we do. So thanks to each one of you and to all of our patrons and your suggestions in this week's very special community-driven Patreon pool. That's a lot of fun. Thanks, guys.
You can always find us on social media. That's Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can find us on YouTube for our weekly VODs, as well as our first plays of Dark Souls and Ocarina of Time. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider of your choice. Make sure that you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes, which are now edited and produced by Tom Tate.
That was cool.
Join us next week as we finally play Toe Jam and Earl. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I am Toe Jam.
I'm Earl.
And this has been New Game Plus.